Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Sunday. It's October the 1st. It's a brand new month, my friend. It is day 274 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking some time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take some time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Every day I need this. And today we're going to look into the book of Zechariah, chapters 10 through 12, Psalm 126, and then we finish our reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. We are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we jump right in here? Zechariah chapter 10. The Lord will restore his people. Ask the Lord for rain in the spring, for he makes the storm clouds, and he will send showers of rain, so every field becomes a lush pasture. Household gods give worthless advice. Fortune tellers predict only lies, and interpreters of dreams pronounce falsehoods that give no comfort. So my people are wandering like lost sheep. They are attacked because they have no shepherd. My anger burns against your shepherds, and I will punish these leaders. For the Lord of heaven's armies has arrived to look after Judah, his flock, and he will make them strong and glorious, like a proud war horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, the tent peg, and the bow for battle. And all the rulers, they will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them as they fight, they will overthrow even the enemy horsemen. I will strengthen Judah and save Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I had never rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, who will hear their cries. The people of Israel will become like mighty warriors, and their hearts will be made happy as with wine. Their children too will see it and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. When I whistle to them, they will come running, for I have redeemed them. From the few who are left, they will grow as numerous as they were before. Though I have scattered them like seeds among the nations, they will still remember me in distant lands. They and their children will survive and return again to Israel. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will resettle them in Gilead and Lebanon until there is no more room for them all. They will pass safely through the sea of distress, for the waves of the sea will be held back, and the waters of the Nile will dry up. The pride of Assyria will be crushed, and the rule of Egypt will end. By my power, I will make my people strong, and by my authority, they will go wherever they wish. I, the Lord, have spoken. Zechariah chapter 11. Open your doors, Lebanon, so that fire may devour your cedar forests. Weep, you cypress trees, for all the ruined cedars, the most tragic ones, have fallen. Weep, you oaks of Bashan, for the thick forests have been cut down. Listen to the wailing of the shepherds, for their rich pastures are destroyed. Hear the young lions roaring, for their thickets in the Jordan Valley are ruined. This is what the Lord my God says. Go and care for the flock that is intended for slaughter. The buyers slaughter their sheep without remorse. The sellers say, "Praise the Lord, now I am rich." Even the shepherds have no compassion for them. Likewise, I will no longer have pity on the people of the land, says the Lord. I will let them fall into each other's hands and into the hands of their king. They will turn the land into a wilderness, and I will not rescue them. So I cared for the flock intended for slaughter, the flock that was oppressed. Then I took two shepherd's staffs and named one Favor and the other Union. I got rid of their three evil shepherds in a single month. But I became impatient with these sheep, and they hated me too. So I told them, "I won't be your shepherd any longer. If you die, you die. If you're killed, you're killed. And let those who remain devour each other." Then I took my staff called Favor, and I cut it in two, showing that I had revoked the covenant I had made with all the nations. That was the end of my covenant with them. The suffering flock was watching me, and they knew that the Lord was speaking through my actions. And I said to them, "If you like, give me my wages, whatever I am worth, but only if you want to." So they counted out my wages, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, "Throw it to the potter, this magnificent sum as which they valued me." So I took the 30 coins and threw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord. Then I took my other staff, Union, and cut it in two, showing that the bond of unity between Judah and Israel was broken. Then the Lord said to me, go again and play the part of the worthless shepherd. This illustrates how I will give this nation a shepherd who will not care for those who are dying, nor look after the young, nor heal the injured, nor feed the healthy. Instead, this shepherd will eat the meat of the fattest sheep and tear off their hooves. What sorrow awaits this worthless shepherd who abandons the flock? The sword will cut his arm and pierce his right eye. His arm will become useless and his right eye completely blind. Zechariah 12. This message concerning the fate of Israel came from the Lord. This message is from the Lord, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and formed the human spirit. I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. On that day, says the Lord, I will cause every horse to panic and every rider to lose his nerve. I will watch over the people of Judah, but I will blind all the horses of their enemies. And the clans of Judah will say to themselves, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord of heaven's armies, their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a flame that sets a woodpile ablaze, or like a burning torch among sheaves of grain. They will burn up all the neighboring nations right and left, while the people living in Jerusalem remain secure. The Lord will give victory to the rest of Judah first, before Jerusalem, so that the people of Jerusalem and the royal line of David will not have greater honor than the rest of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the people of Jerusalem. The weakest among them will be as mighty as King David, and the royal descendants will be like God, the angel of the Lord, who goes before them. For on that day, I will begin to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the family of David and on the people of Jerusalem. They will look on me whom they have pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. They will grieve bitterly for him as for a firstborn son who has died. The sorrow and mourning in Jerusalem on that day will be like the great mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. All Israel will mourn, each clan by itself, and with the husbands separate from their wives. The clan of David will mourn alone, as will the clan of Nathan, the clan of Levi, the clan of Shemaiah. Each of the surviving clans from Judah will mourn separately, and with the husbands separate from their wives. Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter, and we sang for joy, and the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Luke chapter 14. One Sabbath day, Jesus went to eat dinner in the home of a leader of the Pharisees, and the people were watching him closely. There was a man there whose arms and legs were swollen. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in religious law, "Is it permitted in the law to heal people on the Sabbath day or not?" When they refused to answer, Jesus touched the sick man and healed him and sent him away. Then he turned to them and said, which of you doesn't work on the Sabbath if your son or your cow falls into a pit? Don't you rush to get him out? Again, they couldn't answer. When Jesus noticed that all who had come to the dinner were trying to sit in the seat of honor near the head of the table, he gave them this advice. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed and you'll have to take whatever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, Don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it'll be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God!" Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I've just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 pair of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Others said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the towns and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he reported, "There's still room for more." So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet." A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciples, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone will laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go out to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether this army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Now may the one who opens our ears so that we can understand give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. There's a party going on, and it seems like everyone's invited. Eventually, everyone's invited, but at first, well, those first recipients of the invitation, well, they valued their own interests, they valued their own lives above the master's, and they had all kinds of excuses. "I've got to tend to this," or "I just purchased this," or "this just happened to me," and so there was no lack of excuses that were offered. And in the end, these folks were left out of the party by their own choosing and doing. Then the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind, those who had no self-interest to speak of, well, they responded to this invitation. They had no excuses. They had only gratitude. Right on the heels of this story, Luke tells us that there were crowds that were following Jesus. But Jesus tests these crowds. It seems they were there too because of their own self-interests. Jesus just had finished telling a story about people who got caught up pursuing their own self above God. And so now he's got a whole crowd of them there following behind. And he tells them that if this is about you looking to promote yourself, promote your life, then you've got me all wrong. See, you have to hate yourself. You have to hate your own life. Like the poor, blind, crippled, lame beggar who was in that story, well, they hated their lives. they came to this banquet, grateful that they were being offered a new kind of life, being seated at a table, being honored by the master. See, they hated their former life, and now they were loving life at his party. This kind of humility is the only requirement to come to the table, to come and be his disciple. So Jesus turns around and he says to this large crowd of folks pursuing their own self-interests, he says to them, "So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. You've got to give up your self-ambition. You've got to give up your own attempts to save yourself. You've got to give up your past. You've got to give up your addictions. You've got to give up your pride. You've got to give up your arrogance. You've got to give up everything you own. You got to hate it," he says. Well, when you do that, the power to give up everything that owns you will be yours. When we give up everything we own, then we realize that God has given us the power to give up everything that owns us. And there is so much that owns us, my friends. My need to be recognized, my pride, my arrogance, my past, my shame. These things can own us. But Jesus wants to set us free. He wants to invite us to the table. He wants us to recognize that we are poor, blind, naked, miserable beggars. And we've just been invited to a banquet. And when we realize that, all that has once owned us will be no more. And we will live in the freedom and in the power of the Master. We'll be sitting with him at his banquet, being made new. That's the prayer of my heart, my friend. That I will recognize who I am. Recognize that I am a poor, blind, miserable beggar. Apart from God, I'm nothing, right? I'm nothing apart from him. I'm nothing if I'm not sitting with him. But in him, well, there's a party going on. And I want to be there, my friend. Today, I determine to live by faith, to recognize the invitation, and to experience his life. Are you with me on that? That life can be ours if we want it. May it be so. Well, it's always great to hear from you. It really is. Always great to find out a little bit about you. So next time you got a moment, take it. Let a brother know. It's a weekend. It's Sunday. You might have a little extra time. So shoot us off a note. Tell us how God's using the Word of God in your life. And of course, always, share the app. Share this with a friend. Let somebody else join you on this journey in the Word. A journey into life. And would you do me this favor too? Would you share our Facebook posts? Share our social media stuff, content. This too is a great way to invite people into this journey in the Word. So consider both of those things, will you? Sharing the app, sharing our posts, and sharing a word, letting us know who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this thing. Well, folks, as I said, it is Sunday, and it's kind of go time for me. As you know, I'm a pastor here. And I got to get going. But so looking forward to tomorrow and the day after that, Lord willing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I fully intend to be here tomorrow. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let his joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.